It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. And on today's show, loudmouths. Stories of women taking a stand, pushing boundaries, and the moment when the systems they're fighting against start to push back hard.
I want you to feel like I felt when I was getting sentenced.
This is Nadia Tolokonikva on the TED stage.
It's August 17th, 2012. I'm handcuffed and standing for 4 long hours while the judge is reading my sentence.
Nadia stood, along with 2 co-defendants, in a metal and glass cage at the back of a Moscow courtroom.
You're in a small cage, and you're surrounded by 10 prison guards in balaclavas. There is also a guard dog who is barking at you angrily because the dog is trained to be suspicious towards people who smell like prison. The prosecutor asked for 3 years in jail for me. My crime is considered to be severe, and it means that the judge can give me up to 7 years in jail. And as I'm standing here, handcuffed, behind the bars, I'm thinking to myself, can one person change the world? Is it even worth trying? Or am I just setting myself up for a failure? Will I be able to achieve my dreams? Or I'm going to be inevitably smashed by the system?
So what was Nadia's crime? Well, in 2011, she co-founded a performance art group. And if their music isn't familiar, or you don't remember their colorful dresses paired with mismatched ski masks, maybe their name will ring a bell.
Pussy Riot's latest.
The Pussy Riot flag.
Pussy Riot.
Pussy Riot.
Young political artists.
These feminist punk protesters would storm city buses, metro stations, even Red Square, and belt out lyrics against sexism, the patriarchy, and of course, Vladimir Putin.
The punk feminists don't just challenge President Putin, but mock his manhood.
But ironically, the thing that landed them in that courtroom was, according to Nadia, their worst performance of all.
So the performance lasted only for 48 seconds.
In February 2012, Nadia and 4 others, covered in long coats, entered a prominent Russian Orthodox church. When they got close enough to the pulpit, the coats came off, the masks went on, and they stormed the stage.
The music was confiscated in the first 10 seconds. So for the most part, we were just dancing.
I mean, honestly, the protest itself was pretty underwhelming.
And the guards brought us to the door and let us go. It wasn't a huge deal because it was so lousy. We were interrupted so early. We've decided that we're just going to swipe the section under the carpet and forget about it.
But then you released the music video version, and the message was pretty clear, basically saying the church worshipped at the feet of Putin. And that was the final straw for law enforcement. The police were after you.
Yeah, we were running from the police for 7 days. It was just like in spy movies. We threw away our actual phones. We bought new ones. We were running from place to place every single day. It was a scary time. So getting arrested was almost like a relief.
Okay, so let's wind back a bit. You describe yourself as a pretty shy and lonely kid from Siberia. So I'm wondering, how did you go from that to a central figure in the resistance movement against Putin?
My dad was politically active, not in the outside world, but in our family setting. He would always encourage me to read political magazines and listen to political radio stations. When I was 10, he told me that I'm too
old and too smart to read Cosmopolitan and Glamour. And we did have good political media at the time because it was not destroyed yet by Vladimir Putin. So I learned a couple of things from there. And then I moved to Moscow, and in 6 months, I joined my first ever demonstration. And it felt like I'm combining my forces with other people who want to see Russia better, less corrupted, just beautiful Russia of the future, as Alexei Navalny says. And I realized that I've found my chosen family. And I never left the streets and continued to protest.
Tell me what that first protest was like. Do you remember where it was and what specifically you were protesting?
Putin. It must be fun to live in a freer country because you can protest against the whole variety of issues. In Russia, it all comes down to just one individual.
For some context, when Nadia started protesting in 2007, Vladimir Putin had already been president for 7 years. The former KGB officer romanticized the country's one-party communist past. His government had seized the assets of political rivals, silenced journalists, and dissolved international treaties. In response, progressive students like Nadia would go out and protest and get arrested. It was actually pretty common.
Then later it became just a matter of everyday life. You get out of the house, you get arrested preventively because just that what happens in Putin's Russia.
Okay, so tell me, fast forward to 2011. I want you to sort of help me tell the story of the founding of Pussy Riot.
I gave birth when I was 18, and I think it's the first time in my life when I really realized that feminism is not just a beautiful political ideology and an amazing theoretical construct that I read about in books, but it's actually a matter of survival for me. Because people started to treat me differently after I became a mother. Just all sorts of sexist comments that people would throw at me.
Like what?
I was just discarding me as an individual. People suddenly would not invite me to organizing meetings. So even my colleagues kind of pushed me aside and were completely comfortable with me taking care of the kid and not participating in the work. Even the father of my kid didn't really participate in caring about her. And it made me slowly realize that we still have a long way to go when it comes to rights of women. It led me to starting Pussy Riot as a response to the sexism that I saw.
But so what was Pussy Riot to you? Was it a band? Was it a movement? Like, what was the thinking?
It started initially a little bit as a joke. We had an intent to form something like this, but I think we were pushed by fate. So we were asked to go to deliver a speech about Russian feminism. And a part of our lecture was about to be about punk feminism. Then we at night before the lecture, we realized that there is no punk feminism in Russia. We just completely made it up. And what are we going to talk about? And so we had to create this punk feminism. And none of
overnight.
Us knew, overnight. We didn't know how to play instruments. So we took a sample from an old oi punk band from the end of the 60s. It sounded disgusting, but we presented it the next day. And we thought that that's it. Our job was done. The lecture was somehow successful. We were happy with ourselves.
But Russia's democracy was increasingly in free fall. Political corruption was rampant. Voter fraud was on the rise. And then in the winter of 2011, Vladimir Putin announced he'd run for an unprecedented third term as president.
It basically meant that Putin is going to be with us for another 12 years. And it was also obvious that after those 12 years, he'll find another way to flip the table and stay forever. So from a corrupt but still democracy, we went into a totalitarian regime in just like, in just really just one day.
Tens of thousands of people protested, and the members of Pussy Riot decided to join them in their ski masks, performing and making noise everywhere.
We toured around public transport in Moscow, mostly subway. We were arrested almost every single day and bring us to the station. We spent there from 2 hours to 10 hours, never told press about our arrests because our goal was to make ourselves look like superheroes. Oh. And superheroes are never getting arrested.
How would you describe the sound of Pussy Riot? Because I remember when I first heard you guys, I was like, those are a bunch of loud, badass women, and you would be wearing dresses and balaclavas and just like punk beyond punk. Was that the goal?
Exactly. I'm really proud of us. And I remember coming to my friends, actual musicians, being, I want instrumental of a punk song. And they would deliver something much more sophisticated and interesting and contemporary. And I was like, we don't need this. We need just straight up, like scratching, terrible, in your face, old school punk.
So this gets us to the spring of 2012, when you protested inside the cathedral. You hadn't done anything like that before. What made you choose the cathedral?
So I'll give you a little summary. We came to the Cathedral of Christ the Savior because the Patriarch of Russian Orthodox Church said recently that everyone who is an actual believer, who is an actual Christian, has to go and vote for Putin, which was absolutely disgusting to me because he was using religion and all those people actually believing in God with open hearts to him, he was using them for his own little political agenda. And he's known for being filthy rich. So his first-hand benefits from the corrupted regime of Vladimir Putin, which is absolutely disgusting to me. So me and the girls decided to go to the Cathedral of Christ the Savior and talk about it.
So you were sentenced and you went to jail for 2 years. And what I find extraordinary is you emerged even more committed and resolved. How?
Well, you have two options when you are in jail. You can let your spirit be broken, or you can let this dramatic experience to make you stronger. And it's easier said than done. It's just an everyday struggle for finding this energy to keep living, keep fighting. And recently reread Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And obviously, it would be absolutely crazy to compare any experience with the experience he had to go through. He went through concentration camps and got out alive and wrote this book. But I think the brilliance of this book is that it teaches every single one of us how to approach difficult situations in our lives. So if you don't let them break you, you can find meaning even in suffering. I started a hunger strike protesting labor conditions and living conditions. We were working for 16 hours a day, and the conditions were really slave-like conditions. And that moment when I realized that there is a bigger goal than myself, everything became so much easier.
Well, maybe we should explain to the listener that we can't say where you're recording from right now.
No, we cannot.
I don't know where you're recording from, so you are at an undisclosed location, right, where you feel safe.
And it's better, much better than Rat in Jail. I mean, it's one of my artistic choices also to not disclose my location. Because I think that Russian intelligence services, they know where I'm at. It's not difficult for them to find out. But, you know, when we started Pussy Riot, we wanted to be anonymous. And we didn't want people to know our faces, our identities. And there was freedom in it. And today people know how I look like. They know my name. But at least something is left to me from this initial concept that I still hold on to my geographical anonymity.
2 years later, I will get out of jail and I will meet thousands of young Russians who will tell me that they got inspired by our fight. Over the next 10 years, Pussy Riot will build infrastructure, tools, and network for effective resistance. In 2014, we started Media Zona. It's a unique in Russia, free of censorship, independent media outlet. In 2022, we raised $7 million in 2 days for Ukraine. When reproductive rights became under attack in the United States, we raised close to $1 million for Planned Parenthood. In March 2023, I was put on Russia's most wanted list. I'm facing new criminal charges for the art I made. The reason why I became a threat to the system, not because of any actual physical power that I have, but because courage is contagious. And any act of speaking the truth can cause incalculable transformations in social consciousness. And we all have this power. It's a moral act to use this power. You may or may not achieve the results that you wanted, but there is eternal beauty in trying to find truth, in risking everything you got for what's right. And I'll finish my speech with words of 22 years old version of myself. I said in my closing statement, passion, openness, and naivety are superior to hypocrisy, cunning, and contrived decency that conceals crimes. Откройте все двери, снимите погоны, почувствуйте с нами запах свободы. Thank you.
That's Nadia Tolokonikva. She's an artist and co-founder of Pussy Riot. You can see her full talk at TED.com. On the show today, loudmouths. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and it's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. See you in a minute.